Okay, let's see here. Okay.
I can see by your grin that Matt's drunk again. He's having a blast, Ramblecast. And the smile on our face is sometimes out of place. We're concerned, will he last, Ramblecast? If your eyes should glare, if your speech should slur, you'll get by, 'cause it's all a blur. There's no jokes to be had. He's gonna mute me. It's all Matt's podcast, Ramblecast.
I gotta say, Nick, that might be your best one yet.
Okay, well, thank you.
And can I just say, can I publicly thank Colleen for editing out last week's ending because I guess I assume Matt would say it, but he didn't. So anyway,
thank you, Colleen.
I don't know why I need to thank her for editing out something that Nick needed me not to say.
Wow.
Hey, as I said on the Facebook, and I'll just let the shit fly.
The Facebook,
okay?
Huh?
The Facebook.
All of the Facebook.
All right, little whippersnappers under the Facebook or the TikTok.
If I wanted shit edited, I just
walkie walkie.
I just would have, you know, not had you guys like shit on me for like a whole episode about having sex with sheep. You know, my kids listen to this podcast, you know?
Oh, do they?
Maybe one day when I'm dead and gone.
Dad, you were a farmer?
Dad was a sick fuck.
I want to remember him for all of the good things. Well, kids, don't listen.
Dad. it's an oldie but a goodie.
Speaking of dads, my I got this from my dad, mainly for being the best podcaster on the show.
Best supervisor.
I see.
Nice. I'm looking at the names and huzzah. So you must have watched The Great.
I did.
Okay.
We going to go ahead and get into that? Yeah, that was a good show.
You can't. Cindy was watching it. And I watch, you know, little bits and pieces, but they say
like every other line. It's just, you know, like anything like, that's a cool mug. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
And so
Matt struck again. Huzzah.
I knocked it out. Yeah. Matt struck again. Huzzah. Yeah. Today's Wednesday. I watched it. I think it was available on Sunday. I knocked out half on Sunday and the other half on Monday. It's a good show. I mean, it's not like the greatest show in the world, but you know, that kind of story has been told a billion times, just the royalty and the thing, but it's a satire. And so it's got a lot of funny parts to it. 'Cause you know, that's kind of what you would like to imagine it like. It's just a bunch of idiots, you know, and the things that will throw you off. It's like, you know, like I think it's episode 2 or 3, where it's like, you know, the army's leaving the palace, you know, to go to the war, and you expect them to like do the royalty thing of like waving them on and just be there and be. And he's like, and she's late. So she's like, where you been? He's like, what the hell? You know, and then she's like, we got to wave the soldiers on. So they're just like waving all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden the king just goes, fuck them up. You know, like it just kind of gets you because you're like, you don't expect the king just to yell that at the soldiers.
Yeah, well, king was a little nutty. So,
yeah, so it, I liked it.
I like said, Cindy watched it, I think, in 2 days, like you, but I she started without me and I, we just watch bits and pieces of it, when we watched the first episode, I think I go, you like this? Because it didn't seem like it was her type of show, but she enjoyed it.
I liked it, you know. And then I also
what channel is this on?
It's Hulu.
Hulu.
Hulu. It's called The Greatest. It's about Catherine the Great. Well, it's really about Nicholas. They, you know, it's not historically in any
means. It's not about cat power.
It's not. Don't you wish it was? Yeah.
Melda!
But, you know, it's not historically, you know, right by any means, because, you know, the king is really, it's Peter the Third, but he's saying he's Peter the Great's son. And you're like, well, that's not right, because that was like 40 years or 50 years prior. But, but it's good, though. I liked it. It's about how Catherine the Great becomes...
His mom is hot.
Wait till you see the episode, Jack, where, because, you know, the Catherine the Great's handmaiden.
Probably won't see it.
Where he finds out, like, why she got taken from a lady down to a handmaiden. You know, it's because of what her dad did. And you're like, oh, shit.
No wonder.
But it's a good show.
It's one of the Fanning sisters, right?
It's L.
L. Fanning.
Yeah.
L. Fanning. Anyway, like, Cindy enjoyed it. She thought it was good.
Then I messaged all of you, and just mainly specifically Chris, though, because, you know, on TNT or TBS, whichever one it is, the first episode of Snowpiercer aired as well, which was a good show.
I wanted to see, but I don't have TBS. So,
I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know, or read the book, like, then you know what's going to happen. But it's still like, hey, like, it's a different take on it. And
they do a nice job with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of tone and lighting as the movie so far, but they're definitely
a lot of amber and gray.
Yeah, exactly. But you can tell, though, it's taking different, because this one, you know, the Chris Evans character is a detective, and that's how they bring him forward into the car, you know, and they're wanting him to work. And so, of course, all the ones in the back car think he's a traitor, you know, for going up to the front cars, you know, and you're definitely going to stretch him out.
So it's a TV show, not a...
Yeah, it's a TV show. Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's...
The movie was fantastic.
Yeah,
so if you haven't seen the movie
yet, excellent, yeah.
I definitely recommend it. So if you're listening and you haven't seen the movie Snowpiercer with Chris Evans...
It's up there with Das Boots.
Put it on your list with Das Boots.
No, but seriously, it's an excellent movie.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when it came out, the movie, and people talking about it. I was like, okay, I'll go watch it, you know, and it is. I mean, it's not going to be like, holy crap, you know, this is the greatest movie in the world. But for an entertaining action movie, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's got one of those wow moments, too, where you're like.
And if you don't know who Chris Evans is, he was in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yes. And he's also the Human Torch.
Yeah, it's amazing to look back in some of those early 2000 films he was in and see how baby faced he is, you know. And you're like, wow, because he's really, I think he's Matt's age. I think
he's in his 50s.
He's 30.
No, I think he's older than you and me, Chris. But I just
a year. He went to high school with a friend of mine.
Oh, all right. I thought he was just a little bit older than me.
Cindy's watching a show that he's in with Michelle Dockery on Apple. I think it's Apple TV. It's
yes, defending.
Oh, he's Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, Chris Evans is actually 38. He'll be 39.
Born in 81. Wow.
Matt wishes he was 38, going on 39.
I am 5 years older than him. So.
Well, I don't know how you must have flunked math. Anyway, so
that's what's weird to me. Like when you see like all those action stars, like Chris Hemsworth, I think is my age, and then Loki is Chris Hemsworth is younger than me, and then Loki is my age. So it's just like, wow, like I could have been Loki if I was actor or better looking.
Oh wow, Hemsworth is only 36.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's nuts. Oh shit, I'm feeling old. So speaking of feeling old, dude. So I posted this on Facebook the other day. If you are subscribed to Apple Music, you probably have seen there's tons of like different playlists that you can find that are curated by Apple. There's one that I've subscribed to now, and it's literally all I've listened to. It's the Dad Rock Essentials playlist from Apple Music. It is fucking great. So if you haven't checked it out, I mean, I'll give you it's 100 songs, and 99% of them are fantastic. Bruce Springsteen, My Morning Jacket, The Strokes, The Beatles, U2, Tom Petty, Eric Clapton, Beck, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Eagles, Steely Dan, Zeppelin. Like it just goes on and on and on. It might be the single best playlist I've listened to, you know, as a well-rounded rock playlist. It's fantastic. So check it out. Dad Rock Essentials on iTunes.
Dad
and while you're at iTunes,
I did
go ahead and give us a review.
Yes, please.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I know you shared it, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, like, because you mentioned it on the podcast last week. In case you forgot, I know
COVID. I did.
Yeah,
you did.
I'm the one that drinks.
I don't know if he actually mentioned it on the podcast. I know he mentioned it to us before.
You did.
I may have talked to you guys about it.
I swear.
Go back to the tape.
I don't remember it on the podcast, but
roll it again.
I was trying to understand Matt the whole time. So,
all right. Anyway, I did listen. No, yeah, because we talked about music. I think that's what kicked us off into music. You were talking about psychedelics.
I think you're drunk again.
Anyway, I do remember you talking about it though, and I did click on the playlist that you shared, and I was like, "Oh, cool," you know. And I was kind of looking through some of the songs. The National is on there, which I was really excited about.
It is, yeah.
So I love that band.
I'm just afraid. I'm afraid to click on anything you guys.
Don't click that link. That is not right.
No, I'm afraid to click on anything you guys send me now. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't know if I should do that because I'm gonna just be disappointed.
If one of these guys messages you, like through the text, you know, not through Facebook Messenger, because I think that they know that the spies are watching Facebook Messenger. But if they text you something, beware.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So it's the text.
Yeah. Well, go along for the ride and stop being a bitch.
Well, you start out, you had one that started out really nice, and then it went south really fast.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you. Someone was paying attention and listening. Craig in the chat.
Well, Craig was drunk too, so that doesn't count.
How would he know? Is he like got like ESP or PCS what? Or PCP?
So here's the thing: you're all full of shit because I discovered this playlist on Saturday.
Yeah,
I remember you talking about this on the last.
No,
How do we know Craig is not you, Matt?
I'm not Craig.
Because Chris posted on his Facebook page. Yeah.
I remember you specifically talking about Dad Rock. I do.
No way. Can't be.
Yes,
because I discovered this playlist like right before I started doing the mulch work in my goddamn yard. And it's literally all I listened to all day Saturday.
All right.
Like if I talked about it, I am.
Well, you were high.
99.9% positive.
You dropped a couple of
because I thought that that's like how I went into talking about BC Boys.
Well, that's a good deck.
I'm just saying, maybe
that was an hour and a half ago. Give me a break.
Speaking of drinks, and I mentioned this on the Facebooks, at least about this episode. I discovered this new gin drink over the weekend while listening to Dad Rock. Playlist
step one,
and I already apologized to Colleen. Thank Colleen in advance.
Look, I'm not making any wisecracks about Nick and his affiliation with the white supremacist groups. And okay, I won't make that mistake again.
So if you were with us live last week, there was a comment that was made at the very last seconds of the show that folks who were in the live show got to hear, and it was.
Yeah.
Off base.
I was. Come on.
I think we were all shocked by it.
You made fun of me for fucking sheep, but you know, I think that's
okay.
There's a big difference.
Huge difference.
Anyway, the drink that I discovered, that's a gin drink called the Bee's Knees. I can't believe I've never heard of this drink before.
Yeah, it's been around since the Depression.
Yeah, exactly. It actually, it came about through...
You're the Bee's Knees.
No, it came about through the Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people made bathtub gin, it was so foul, they would basically add lemon juice and honey to tamp down
the flavor. Who would think bathtub juice would be bad?
Bathtub gin. Did I say bathtub juice?
I might have said juice, because...
Okay. Well, they added basically three ingredients. Gin...
Irish Spring,
lemon juice. Don't use Irish Spring, and honey. And basically, I mean, you can look at this up on any recipe. I think you can basically use whatever ratio you want, because if you look at every other recipe, it's a little bit different. You know, as far as like 2-1, you know, 1-2, whatever. You know,
I've never had one, but like with the honey, because it's always such a thicker syrupy thing. Is it really effective?
You got to shake it up a little bit, you know.
Shake it up.
And you know, of course, like the better the ingredients, the better the results. However, I had this kind of I was using Bombay Sapphire, which I'm usually more of a
Dr. Tanqueray Bombay.
Kind of guy that has the citrus flavor.
Like Tanqueray. Yeah.
So, when I switched to Bombay Sapphire, I was like, whoa, because that was my kind of more my gin in the college years. And I was like, whoa, I forgot about how like kind of upfront you are. And so the bee's knees worked to kind of tamp that flavor.
So you're hooked on the bee's knees. I'll have to try that one of these weeks.
It is not for the faint stomach of heart, because apparently
that
in the mornings,
that leaves me out, because
when I wake up in the mornings, I'm like, whoa, what did I eat? It's because, you know, you're putting all of that acid and alcohol on your belly. And
yeah, like I had a fried clam platter for dinner tonight. Man, I regret every second of it.
I haven't had hard alcohol in probably about 3 to 4 weeks. So,
you're doing a lot better than I am.
It's that heartburn thing.
I had some tequila over the weekend, and it was my buddy had some Himalayan salt shot glasses. Have you ever seen those before? But they're literally shot glasses that are carved out of a rock of Himalayan salt.
Oh, is that
is that the one that helps your can heal you?
It helps you.
Yeah, the fake healer, right?
Yeah,
no, but the. No, but it's awesome because it just dissolves salt into your tequila shot and it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
So they're actually made for tequila consumption specifically.
Nice. Recommend something else for Matt to get drunk over. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But I mean, speaking you could just get like shot glasses made out of like, you know, pine salt. Trees. It probably tastes the same as fucking gin.
That's like what you could do for
fucking awful liquor. Gin's the worst.
Don't shit on my gin.
Gin outside of a gin and tonic is just disgusting.
Don't
in my
crap
opinion.
On my gin.
In my opinion.
Have you had a bee's knees?
I have not had a bee's knees.
No, because I'm not 80.
Yule Gibbons would like a pine cone drink.
You'd have to be 100.
Yeah. But probably 100. Probably knows who Yule Gibbons is other than me.
Not a clue. If his name is Yule, I can guarantee you I don't know who he is.
Maybe Randy knows who he is. But
Yule is a Great Depression first name.
Huh. Well,
there's a lot of them like that.
Randy asked a fair
Martha
question.
Blanche. You know, basically all the Golden Girls.
Truth. Rue.
Randy asked a fair question in the chat here. How long do the salt shot glasses last?
Oh, great question. So they last a while. So you do have to rinse them out and like wipe them down after every use so that they don't dissolve. So he's had them for a bit. I want to say he's probably had them for a couple of months, but I guess they do last quite a long time. But they will eventually.
Well, that wouldn't last Matt a couple
wear
months.
Away. No, it'll last Matt maybe a couple episodes, but but they're actually really, really good. I'm assuming you can probably find them on Amazon. So I will go and see if I can find a link for you right now.
We'll have to have an intervention podcast here soon.
That too.
The COVID AA. I do like to take days off from drinking, you know. I think the marijuana helps, but I don't have access to that. So,
go on to Massachusetts, my friend.
Speaking of versus.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I saw I won. So
you won? How did you win?
Yeah. So Animal won, and then Fuzzy Bear came in second, and then Swedish Chef came in third, right? And those were our three choices because we had the J pick, which doesn't count.
Yeah, so
that's fair. I like what you did there, Nick.
I won the versus. I won the versus. You did not win it. You
basically
did not win
everybody
it.
Landed like 1, 2, 3, and 4. Basically, how we rolled the dice here because Kermit came in.
I really. It was like Kermit was in second place.
Yeah, it was actually really exciting because Animal was in fourth the longest time, and you know, and then even Swedish Chef was like in second for like
you wanted to say Swedish Fish, didn't you?
I did say Swedish Fish. Yeah,
Fozzie Bear came out like kicking. Like he did. Bear was in number one for at least an hour.
Then he got drunk.
Which
and
I feel like is about the span of his set list there. Set list, joke list. I don't know. Anyway, Kermit at 40 votes. Animal at 33 votes, which I feel is a victory for Animal. I'm with
it
you.
It really
Nick.
Is. Yeah.
So,
millennials can say we won.
Let's coup this motherfucker out.
I was really shocked that Animal came back as strong as he did.
Animal!
Fozzie Bear with 27 and Swedish Chef with 18. I, you know, as with all verses, the comments from the Peanut Gallery, we do appreciate all of the great comments.
I don't. I can't believe this person's not on your list.
Put him up.
How come you got him? How come you didn't have the chicken? Where's the
okay? I'm not trying to shit on the commenters because I love you all. Holly mentions no Scooter. Yeah, because Scooter's the shittiest sucks, dude. Muppet ever. So, like,
someone also put Beaker. Fuck Beaker.
Yeah, I do like Beaker.
I've at least heard of Beaker. I've never heard of
definitely
Scooter.
Not top four. Definitely not top four Muppets. Okay, come on.
There's a lot of Fraggles out there too.
Gonzo, I do feel like it was a missed opportunity. I mean, as is really
Gonzo's like legit.
Yeah. I mean,
Gonzo, I almost picked Gonzo over Kermit. But
well, at least you would have had some balls then.
Yeah. I wanted to win. Winner.
Like, you know what? Gonzo deserves to be in there. He does.
And I think part of this conversation came about when I was mentioning the show on Disney Plus called Prop.
Oh, I started watching it tonight. I got to watch 7 minutes of it because Dave Matthews concert was on. It was the first one. So what was it?
That's Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yeah.
I didn't even go like in order. I just skipped around. I went to Tron. I went to Muppets. I was kind of hitting the ones.
I was strategic about it. I had like 10 to 15 minutes before Dave Matthews is doing a live, not live, but like a rebroadcast of a concert. They do every Wednesday night. My wife watches them every Wednesday. So you hear jumping around. It's my wife dancing upstairs listening to a concert. I had like a few minutes before it started and I strategically put on the pilot episode because I saw what it was because my daughter was in the room. And now she's like, Daddy, I want to watch this show with you. I'm like, yes. Bonding time. Finally get to watch a show that doesn't suck with my kid. Ha.
Nice.
Look at this douche. He brought himself a shaker to the goddamn podcast.
Well, I mean, you know.
Best supervisor ever.
Give it another 40 minutes and we'll really
Matthew
see the Matt come out.
He's Michael Scott's brother, Matthew Scott.
Dude,
he runs a paper company.
10:30.
Am I right? Just figure it out. You're Michael Scott's brother, Matthew Scott.
Thanks.
Because you have the best supervisor ever.
I was sure. Okay. I was just really excited to get this as a backdrop.
Yeah, it does look good.
It's a good backdrop. If you had a blue sheet behind me, I would put that up for my work conference calls.
If you didn't notice earlier, I had the backstage of the Muppet Show going on. So this is the opening show.
Nice,
so
that's exciting.
For those that don't join us live or don't even understand what's going on, we do shit live. So
I might have to get like a curtain for, you know, behind me, like a blue sheet or a green sheet. Reason being, I'm dabbling in the world of Twitch streaming when I get my ass kicked playing Call of Duty. So I'm going to give it a shot. See what happens. See if I can entertain some people. But if you want to watch me on Twitch, you can. It's my Twitch handle is Chris in Boston.
Is it enough that we watch you on this podcast?
Probably. Okay. But if you want, you just go ahead and follow us out / subscribe me. You don't have to watch, just be my subscriber. That's all. That's all I care about. It's free.
Well, I thank you for the patrons because I actually put some of that patron money to use and bought a green screen.
Bought a gin, a whole case of it.
No, I legitimately like ordered on Amazon. I was like, I'm gonna get this green screen. That is not what this is back here. Because this is a little bit smaller than what I ordered, but it's coming because you know how that Amazon is. They're like,
we don't know COVID. You know, things are slow.
I know. I get my stuff right away. I live in a real estate. Anyway,
I think they prioritize their shipments to the elderly first, which is probably why.
That's fine. Why is Matt getting left out? I noticed Will's in the chat, and we mentioned The Office.
Hello, Will.
And I saw on his Facebook post that he's not impressed. He watched the first season, and he was not impressed with The Office. How have you continued watching? Are you still bitter? Are you still do you still have no sense of humor? I mean, what's the deal, Will?
If you look at the comments on that post, though, he says, you know, everyone's automatically going like, dude, everyone knows the first season sucks. It's just you get to know the characters and move on. You know, so
yeah.
I don't think it sucks. It's not great. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to pee.
But the basketball one is hilarious.
Oh, when he goes downstairs and plays basketball?
Right, where they have the...
Yeah, the basketball one probably might be one of the best ones from that.
You know, I bought that entire series when that was on sale, for that flash sale, and I haven't even touched it yet.
What? That is what got me hooked.
Are you shocked?
Okay, this is classic Chris, okay? Chris messaged this out or sent it out on Facebook, or you did something. I learned about this, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. Even though I can watch The Office on Netflix, I wanted to own it because
not anymore.
I just wanted to go away because I just finished watching the rewatch.
It's still on
Netflix.
That's why I did a rewatch because you said, hey, it's for sale. I said, I don't need to own it.
Yeah, but I did. I was the sucker that bought it. And it got me hooked because I was like, well, I paid for it. I'm going to go ahead and rewatch The Office. So it was weird because, yeah, of course. It's
so Chris put it with Das Boots. It's sitting there. So Will finished season two earlier tonight. Well, that doesn't tell us anything. What did you like it or not?
Season two has a really great ender. I mean, that's so.
It's better.
It's better.
Is that what he said? It's better.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a delay. I don't know.
Great
why.
Review. Will, I'm with you.
Hey, could you go get us?
He gets paid by the word.
Will, could you give us a sure, review on sweet. iTunes saying it's better.
It's better.
Yeah, that would make me feel really good.
It's good.
It's all right. We're just giving you a hard time.
Here's your 5-star review. I listened.
Yeah. Oh, we're just giving you a hard time, Will.
Oh man.
But I did want to talk about because you got a lot of Karen videos going on right now.
Oh my God, there's so many good ones.
Do people know what a Karen video is?
Yes.
It's usually a white woman who's got some strange views of life, and she's angry and bitter, and so people are, you know, what happened, the first one that was someone named Karen, is that how it came?
It's the I want to talk to your manager woman, right? Yeah. With the bob. I think it all started with John and Kate plus eight. So Kate had that haircut that all the stupid Karens now have. That immediately have this privilege behind them that they think that they need to be the focus of everyone's attention, and their beliefs are the only ones that are out there. And they always need to speak to a manager because you're not good enough.
There's some of the best because you sit there and go, okay, how are these people still, how do they exist? But that's okay. But there are people I know who are named Karen who are upset by this being.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, okay. I'm now 57. And my name has been derogatory since I was a little kid. I mean, so I put up with it. So Karens, why don't you just back off and relax?
Wow.
I mean, jack off, hijack.
Yeah. My last name is Skypeck. Go fuck yourselves, okay?
You don't know Jack. Jack shit. I mean,
it's a tough time to be a Karen or a Todd right now, because Todd is got the negative connotation, as does Karen. Karen's got it worse.
I think Karen has it worse than, but Jack has it worse than Skypeck. Just saying.
Yeah, so. Jack. Like I said, I mean my whole life has been. You don't want to be named Jack. That's why I think people named Jack go by John sometimes, so they don't have to have the Jack problem.
I'll be sure to have this chat with my son in a couple of years.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway,
we call him Jack Jack.
Yeah. So he's double getting Jack. Hey Jack Jack off. So there you go. Anyway, when I was a kid, if I didn't say, because people go, hey, hi Jack to Cuba. I get it. Ha 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 ha. Because that's when there are a lot of hijackings going on. So you had to say that. But no, the Karens are upset. I've seen the Karens in the Karen world who are not Karens, but unfortunately,
there's actually nothing more Karen than being upset about the Karen memes.
I mean, was it you, Chris, that sent us that link? Someone sent it to me. I thought like the one with the chalk art. That was the worst.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
You felt so sorry for that kid. It's like, why do you care? Like, why are you just being a dick to be a dick?
So a young kid, go ahead, Jack.
A young kid had drawn pictures
on the sidewalk.
Is it an old guy or a girl? I can't figure it out.
I'm not sure about the kid, but it's an older woman.
Older woman. I thought it was an older man.
I would say she's probably in her late 50s. Yeah, and she's out there with the water hose just spraying it off, you know, and the kid's out there just crying, and the parent's like, what's wrong with you? She's like, why do I have to look at this stuff? She's like, it's going to – and then she's like, it'll go away if it rains. She's like – and the mom's like, you know, yeah, when it rains, just leave it there till it rains. She's like, I don't want to see it. And she's just washing off in front of this kid who's just finished drawing it. And she's like, what a bitch.
Chris sent this
on a parking lot. I didn't send this one.
Okay. No. I was like, I don't remember seeing this. Like, do you guys like fuck me over when I'm not looking?
There's been a bunch of these videos that have been popping up, especially recently with states reopening, right? So there's a couple of Karens popping up. Hi-yo. There was a couple of Karens that who walked into a store with no other reason to do so other than to create a Facebook Live video. For the people, you know what I mean? So there's this woman who walked into a Trader Joe's, and she was just being a complete rotten bitch to this entire store. Like, just trying to convince the store manager that it's less healthy for her to wear a mask because she's going to be breathing in her own CO2. Some bullshit. Like, just craziness. And a couple of days later, the news was reporting that she actually caught coronavirus.
Wow.
Not that I'm happy for someone to contract COVID, but
me either, but I think it's funny.
There's a little bit of satisfaction that falls in there.
You see the woman that was outside of, I don't know, the store.
Kozlov's or whatever.
Yeah, and he's spraying. It was in the, and he's.
I don't want you spraying my cart.
That was in Dana Point, California, but she was a nice man. She wasn't wearing a mask. And she said it was her. They were discriminating against her, and the guy he's dancing. The guy that's spraying the bottles. He's waving to the camera, but it's backfired. And then they had the guy at Costco, who took the stuff away. He goes, are you gonna put on a mask? And he goes, no, it's my right as an American. He goes, no, you're not getting the stuff.
Yeah, so good.
I tell my wife, I said. Okay, you can go into Target without a mask. You can go. There's places you can go without a mask. Go to those fucking places. If they're requiring a mask, wear the fucking mask. Shut the fuck up. I mean, who's on their side?
As a store manager and someone who's opening up this weekend, that is one of the things that I had to like basically prepare for is customers coming into the store. And, you know, my boss / manager / owner. Well, I guess I'm the manager. Whatever. It's a partnership, but I want to protect him at all costs because he is over 65, ex-smoker, very susceptible to this. And masks is an important thing because also I don't want it spreading on. I don't want to take it home. I don't want to take it to my mother-in-law's. If I'm asymptomatic, then I want to, you know, not spread it to anybody else. So
I don't know why this is so hard. I just don't.
It's a weird thing because we have laws and rules for other things. Like no different.
Cindy and I walked into a Target the other day, and there's probably like 70% people wearing masks, but this one guy with his kids.
Not enough.
One guy with his kids looks at Cindy and I and says, kind of gave us a day. And I'm like going, you see that guy? My wife goes, I didn't see him. I go, he's looking down on us because we're wearing a mask. Like it's hurting him that we're wearing a mask. Like, I don't get it, dumbass. Right. And Cindy goes, you need to calm down. I go, I know. I know. I'm not getting a fight over a mask, but it's like, come on, people.
No, I'm with you, Jack. I mean, the people that are dumb. That are annoyed that the people are wearing masks is like, okay, you don't know me. You have no idea about my background. You have no idea like what I'm doing. But I could cough or sneeze or like, you know, blow chunks all over like whatever this is, and it just, you know, could end up.
I don't know about
you or somebody that you love to contract it. And the scary thing is that we don't know everything about the virus. No. They're still learning things about the virus as we go. There's a belief that there's two different strains of the virus, one that is more aggressive and one that is more passive. And, you know, to me, it kind of reminds me of the early days of HIV, in which we had just learned about it. We were learning more and more about it as it went along, and we didn't know all of the rules. And then you had cases like Ryan White, who ended up getting infected unknowingly because someone had donated blood, and through a blood transfusion, he ended up with HIV. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are a lot of different like things about this that, you know, we're not even a year into this. You know, and all of these things are just preventing from other people. What do you mean? Oh, okay. I get what you. I'm reading the private chat, and I'm just.
Hey, wait! Way to handle the private chat gracefully and seamlessly.
I'm just. Fuck you guys! You know.
What do you mean?
I'm like just a reminder.
What does that message in the private chat section mean?
How dare you interrupt me while I'm talking? No,
I thought you were telling me that I sounded like a commercial.
No, it's just like we're at the 37 minute mark, and I was like, "Oh, this is about the time." I just wanted to
time
remind
for
you.
A commercial.
Yeah, no, time for a commercial.
I wasn't even paying attention. I just heard Matt go. Okay.
Anyway, I'm done. I don't.
No, actually, you're Matt, making Matt, valid Matt, points. Sorry. I was just
hold,
like,
hold
hey,
on, Matt. You need stage. What do you call it? What's that? The writing on a script, the stage direction. There you go.
Oh, okay. There. Thank you. Now that I read the stage direction. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a short commercial break.
And we're back.
Oh, my
I didn't gosh, mean to kill your buzz there, Matt. I was just trying to remind and be a nice co-host and then like, oh, just totally derailed
but,
you.
But Nick, you're not co-producer, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, yeah, it's true.
Whoa.
I'm just speaking for Matt. I don't want to put in private chat.
Oh,
so
okay.
I want everybody to hear what we
No, no, that's that. Supposed to go into the private chat with stage direction, Jack.
Oh, my fault. I apologize. Yeah. I apologize.
Before another 30 minutes slides by us and then all of a sudden we're at like 2 hours, there was one thing that I wanted to mention. I was really excited to share this story, mainly with Nick of all people. But also you guys, the other two.
Oh, thanks.
People.
It's good to be included.
No, I mean, I think about you guys kind of.
Oh, bullshit.
It's mainly
not
just
as
Nick.
Much as you think about Nick, apparently.
I know. Oh, I wonder what Nick's doing. What's he right thinking now. About? What's he dreaming about? No. Okay, so you'll understand, I guess, in a second. But let me just preface this by saying that this I think happened like the day after we recorded the last podcast. So it's been a week plus since this happened. But my dad is moving out of his house right now, and in the middle of and my dad is a complete hoarder. Seriously, like. Like there is just so much shit in their house, like just tons of just I can't express to you. If you watch the show Hoarders, it's like that. Maybe divided in half, but it's still bad. OK. And I've gotten almost everything out of the house that I thought was mine. OK, but there's still a few things that like in existence that I've always thought, I wonder whatever happened to that thing. Well, anyway, I'm helping my dad move a bunch of shit, you know. Just out of his garage, basically, like just being a good son, whatever. Maybe a bad son. But anyway, he goes inside the house and he's like, I'll be right back. And I'm like, okay. So I climb up into the attic and I'm like poking around the attic because that's always been the place that like when I was a teenager, you know, or something, get out of there. Come on, Dad. You're gonna mess up shit, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I could never go up in the attic. So I'm up in the attic. I'm just scoping around. I'm trying to find... just go through shit, you know? And I find, of all things, this plastic bag that is disintegrated, a black garbage bag, Glad, that is just disintegrated from the heat of the attic.
Being well, that's good. Like that's good for the environment, though.
Totally, exactly. It's it, I know exactly what happens to a Glad bag after it's been in an attic for 30 years or 20. I don't know. How old am I? So anyway, I find all of my old Legos, like all of them. And it was amazing. It was like the most amazing gold, like discovery treasure box that I could find. It's just ton, like all of them. And not just like missing pieces. Like we're talking 98% complete because I took care of my shit. In fact, all of the instructions were there too. I was just blown away by this discovery and so much joy seeing these old, you know, it's just like all of the memories of like, oh, I remember getting this. And then the excitement too, like taking this home to my kids to be able to share kind of like all of the old stuff that I had found, because I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to be able to have my kids like put it together, you know, and like, and we did, we had an amazing time. It was even almost like an archaeological dig because we had to, you guys are making fun of me in the private chat. I'm not even looking at this.
Actually,
shit.
We're not.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There might've been one. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. The last one was.
Oh, okay. I'll read it after I'm done with my story. So anyway, and I have nothing more to add except for the fact that, you know, my kids, we go through like all of these like garbage bag, like dusting off all of the Legos because they've got all of this black crap all over it. And
I'm listening. Continue.
Yeah, because this is all for Nick. So
it is.
You're a Lego. I had, and this was the weird thing. I had the set.
Of, I saw the picture you put of it. It was really nice.
Yeah, like the racing set. Like mm-hmm. I had this like large kind of playset of this racetrack, and it was all there. It was amazing. So aside from like a few handful of pieces, like I was like, it was funny. My daughter, who's, you know, likes Legos as well, she was like, oh, there's only one girl figure. And I had probably like 30 different like Lego minifigures, you know, all old school, all dudes with just the regular generic face, except one girl who's got plastic hair. So
is it brown plastic anyway, hair?
Black. So
black.
Okay. You know, I thought, because I mean, I like all of us, I was introduced to Legos in the late 80s, and I thought that was really interesting when they introduced the Friends sets in the last few years ago. People can see your mouth moving.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, that one's geared towards girls. And I always liked that about Lego growing up, and that there were, you know, it was like, no, like we're not, you know, everyone's just yellow for a reason. Like it's because, like, you know, we're all just one thing. And so it was like, oh, you're kind of, I just thought that was kind of odd that they also changed their roots. But
when I was getting Legos, were just blocks.
Yeah.
And you use your imagination and you build what you fucking want.
Back in
my
day, Legos were the pebbles you could find in the stream behind your house. And if you could fit them together, doggone it, you got a good group of rocks.
Get that wagon going and head off to the next county.
In my wagon.
Oh, yeah. The same thing, though. Like, you know, I think I've said this before. Like, I'm basically the last of my entire family on my mom's side and my dad's side. And so we've got a whole building just full of shit that people have left, you know, like good furniture, like all kinds of stuff. And
that story, I remember.
Yeah. And my dad was going through it, I think 2 or 3 days ago, and he called me up. He's like, hey, I found some of your G.I. Joes. He's like, I found like, I think it's called the hovercraft. And I was like, oh, you found it? You know, the big, the black bottom.
You're
the
kid that got that?
Well, I wanted the aircraft carrier. I never got it. Jay's got the aircraft carrier, but I got the
hovercraft. I didn't want the hovercraft. I want the aircraft carrier.
You get what you want. You get what you deserve.
Yeah, I think I had the hovercraft. I had the A-10 and the F-14. And I think that's the only three big ones they ever got me. Was that?
Dude, that hovercraft was awesome.
Yeah,
like it was legit.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I mean, I'm sure it's got some broken pieces on it and everything. Because I played with it. I remember.
Restore it, man. Yeah. Fix it up.
Randy says metal erector set and Lincoln Logs. Love Lincoln
yeah.
Logs.
I love Lincoln Logs.
I didn't play with erector sets until I was like probably about 13.
That
Thanks, guys.
I've told this story. When I was a kid, they had these things. I think they were Cox. They were like a gas. It
had like a You're not helping this any.
I know.
Cox?
Cox.
You like Cox?
They had like airplanes. They had like cars, like race cars and stuff like that. And you put like little fuel in it. So I got this. It's like World War II plane. And my dad goes, no. I'm going to, it would be on a string.
He started up. That's out because, I mean, you were living it. So
yeah, it was, but it would fly around, and there was rations, so you had to get the little ration anyway. So my dad's like going, no, I got to show you how to do this. You're not going to destroy.
You open up the package, you get a free draft card included.
It was World War II. You didn't have to. You volunteered.
Uh-huh.
Every erector set comes with war bonds.
So it would have. You'd have like a little plastic handle, and it had the string that would go to the, and you'd. Like guy like this. My dad's like, no, I'm going to show you how to do it because you're not ruining it. So he starts it up, gets it going out in the street, and I think it did like third lap. He goes up and just disintegrates it. I didn't get to play with it. So I mean, we eventually put it back together, but it was like duct tape and all
you
this.
Guys remember those when we were kids? You get these toys or like a little paper or not paper, like a wooden. Model plane that you put together.
Oh yeah,
the propeller was tied together with rubber bands.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You throw it up in the air.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Those things are awesome.
Yeah.
They're still around.
Giving out those at work like 8 months ago.
We used to put paper clips on the front, and then get a rubber band, those big rubber bands, and fling it.
Nice.
That's how we used it.
Now kids have fucking drones.
Randy said Cox use real gas power motors.
That's right. They do.
Wow.
I was watching a video.
No batteries included.
Oh, by the way, before we deter too far away from toys and
what do you mean?
We're way off now.
I know. I just wanted to mention that the reason why I put the Lego icon and specifically the red is because my first set, much like Jack's, I'm sure, was just like all red bricks. That was it. Like my parents had bought it from a garage sale, and it was just like it was a set that came in a box, and it just
I grew up in the Cold War. I was not allowed to use red bricks.
This was in the 70s War too. Yeah. So, and what does that say about a certain party? So, if it's all red.
Better dead than red.
Okay.
John, the UPS guy, says parachute men. Do you guys remember parachute
men? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I called them parachute people.
You were very progressive.
Parachute people. Parachute tribe.
So you guys remember the original Army Men, which is the gold green characters that there's either in the Lego movie in the whole or whatever movie they're in. Remember Muscle Men?
Well, I never played with Muscle Men, but
you mean Stretch Armstrong?
Not this week, you haven't. But the Muscle Men were these little guys about that tall. They're pink, but they're all like very animated. I think there may have been a cartoon that was associated with the toys as well, but they came in like almost like a clear trash can
type thing.
No, hold on. I got to find them now.
I'll bring it up here while you talk.
Yep. Oh, so these guys are cool. And I think they sold like a whole bunch of different kits, and like some of them were like a wrestling ring. Maybe if my memory serves, I can't remember quite. Yes. Those are the ones.
Mm-hmm. I remember those guys. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember those.
I had like hundreds of those things.
Beautifully flesh colored plastic.
Sitting in a landfill somewhere right now.
No, wouldn't you, Matt?
Those are awesome. They're wrestlers. They came with like a little wrestling ring.
Huh. Yeah. No, I knew what you were talking about. I just didn't want to admit to it. So.
There was a cartoon. What the shit, Matt? Are you looking at?
I just typed in Muscle Men toy.
I typed in Muscle Men. You better clear your search.
Clear your cache, bro.
I just did images. So yes, Mimi Mike mentions Muscle Men and Micro Machines, and Randy also mentions Toy Story.
That's the movie with the army men, right?
The army men, and one of the things that's mentioned in Toy Story, and I found this to be very true as I'm cleaning out all of this shit from my dad's garage and attic, is that I'm going through all of these toys, Happy Meal toys, all of this bullshit, right? Tons of army men, and one of the things that they say in Toy Story is the army men are the first to go. Very, very true. Because I was like throwing them in a bag. I'm like, okay, this is all going to.
Well, it's because you always had a few that were really lame, like the minesweeper guy, and then the one that just had the rifle up above his head, and you're just like,
yeah, because that's the guy who's crawling through the river holding his gun up.
And he's always, and you know, he's going to be the first one to die.
Yeah,
and
he may as well be wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. But I always wondered, because I always had like 10 minesweeper guys. I'm like, I mean, of course they're important, but still, it's just like you have a stick there with a flat thing on the bottom. You're like, what the fuck is this guy? He's worthless. You know, you want the bazooka guy, or you want the rifleman. You don't want the minesweeper guy.
Or the infantry guys that are laying on their stomach.
Right.
So well, we used to make a great versus.
Because what we used to do is speaking of Legos, we'd build a fort, then we take our army guys. And put them in, you know, and then we'd have get rubber bands, and we'd have rubber band guns we made, and you'd shoot but the infantry guys had a rule, okay, you can't just lay them behind a Lego, they have to be on top of something. And then we had these giant rubber bands that we called the atomic bomb that you could use once a battle. You'd go, wah, and it would just slam to, I mean, it was fun. Nice. We entertained ourselves. We didn't have Fortnite and all this other stuff.
Yeah, so there's some mention in the chat about Garbage Pail Kids. So first of all, M. Jesse, what is M. Jesse's first name?
M.
It'd be M.
Related
for now.
To Q from James
Bond. If you wouldn't mind sharing what your first name is, so I can address you by your full name, or at least half of your name. But
don't patronize our listeners.
Well, I don't want to say, hey, well, whatever, dude. You got half naked.
It's Michael Jordan
in your background.
MJ, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Anywho, so they're talking about Garbage Pail Kids. I loved Garbage Pail Kids growing up, right? So I remember there was this this one convenience store that was on the way back from my dad's work, and every once in a while I would go and visit. Oh, hey, Marie, there you go. I would visit my dad at work, and then
I thought
my mom would drop me off there, and then he would bring me home. And every time I did that, we would stop. We would stop at the same convenience store, and my dad would buy me a couple packages, like little wax packs of Garbage Pail Kids. It amazes me that our parents let us have that shit. Like, it is actually, some of the stuff that was on there on those cards were terrible. Like, if you go back and do a kind of like your research on now and do some like Google searches of some of the old cards, like, that would never fly today with, like, you know, with all the Karens in the world. They wouldn't allow it to happen. But if I don't know if you guys remember the Garbage Pail Kid movie.
I don't remember
when it came out, but I don't remember watching it.
It is a hot mess that you should definitely watch. I would encourage you to imbibe in some mind-altering substances prior to watching, but holy shit, that movie is twisted.
That was actually one of my favorite little scenes in Ready Player One. You know, was it when she throws into the Mega Godzilla? You know, you have the Garbage Pail Kids little head there. I was like, that's like, God, that's such an Easter egg that only a very Adam select Bomb. Few people will get. You know,
I know Adam Garbage Bomb, Pail Kids. Yep. When did they come out?
Oh, that must have been
mid-80s. Okay, because I know that, but I'm
looking at the movie. The movie came out in 87.
No. Oh, so it was past my time.
Yeah, you were in your mid-40s. What,
you were in your mid-20s.
You missed the joke opportunity there, Nick.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I got it, Chris. I heard you.
Yeah, so
I collected baseball cards as a kid, so I don't know.
I did too. Yeah,
this whole
I was way too busy getting laid.
Yeah.
For your 30th birthday.
So my worst trade of all time was a Johnny Bench rookie card for a Glenn Beckert Padre card. Yeah. But Glenn Beckert was where he was traded to the Padres, but they had him as a San Diego Padres, but they had him in a Cubs jersey. So I thought it would be worth something because, and who knew that Johnny Bench rookie card would be worth more than the
Johnny Bench.
I know, but I love Johnny Bench, but you know,
I know I've told this before. Like, I collected basketball cards. What I collected from like '86 through like '91, which was like the prime of card collecting in general, because it was like the parents that did it in the '60s. You know, I came back around, and I remember in '88 or '89. That's pretty cool. I was at the flea market, and I had $35, I think, and that, to an 8-year old, that's a shitload of money, and I had the choice of an '84 Magic Johnson All Star card along with a Scottie Pippen rookie card. Or Michael Jordan's rookie card. And I chose the two because I was like, it's two cards, and they're two great players versus one great player. But this is, this is 80s Mike. I mean, Mike was, but he was Michael Jordan, but he wasn't Michael Jordan yet. He hadn't even won a championship yet. So it was like, and now I always look back years later going like, motherfucker, you dumb 8-year old kid.
It's like when I got rid of the Honest Wagner card, that was a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Just gave it away, put it on my bike, and had the
motor sounds.
Yeah,
I also found an old Trivial Pursuit, board game. There's tons of board games in my
Moops,
and it was funny, like looking at some of those those questions, because they were just like so. Like some of them, I guess maybe still are relevant, but some of them, obviously like very dated. From like the early 80s. So
what's the best gin drink?
Actually, there was a question of what is the most popular cocktail in the US? So any
martini, I would say.
Boom, Nick with the dynamite. Yeah. So yep.
It makes sense. Anyway. It's probably a dirty martini too, because I know very few people that actually like vermouth. That was in it. Yeah.
That is so gross. Why would you share such a thing, Chris?
That is kind of funny.
We're looking at a Garbage Pail Kids image.
For we are. There. We're looking at what Nick actually.
And it's not a snot rocket.
I would not want that as a bikini. So.
I don't know.
So here's a picture of.
I remember the image of the movie. Yeah.
I don't. Maybe I do vaguely remember this.
I've never seen it.
The 80s is such a weird time, just because it's not. It's pre CGI, but it's also like the peak of puppetry and all this stuff. Yeah. You look at like Dark Crystal, which that always scared me as a kid. But like it's the peak of all that. But it's you look back on it now and like how much dedication into making stuff like that. You're just like, wow, that's a lot of time and effort to make up all that.
Randy says he's only ever been to one NBA game, and it was '84 to see Jordan play.
His rookie year.
Nice.
Wow. I actually do have I don't know if it's worth anything. I have a Jordan college card from when he played North Carolina. I don't know if it's, I don't know. I doubt it's worth anything though, but it could be.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of NBA players, but I never saw Jordan.
If you guys ever get around to watching that series,
I plan on it when it's available.
So good. But like, they actually dedicate some time to when he played baseball, and they actually talk about how good he was. But he's 31, 32 when he started baseball. It's like nobody could do that. Just how good an athlete he was.
Well, he's no Bo Jackson.
There was a really good 30 for 30 about the transition, and it actually just focused on Jordan when he played baseball, the 30 for 30 documentary about that. And it was really, really great because it talks about how basically like he had to rebuild his body.
Right.
And how as rebuilding his body for a baseball player, it kind of hurt him when he did come back to the NBA. Right.
Yeah. So, they talk about that.
The rumor why he went to baseball, like quit the NBA.
Well, he was burnt out.
No,
the theory. Well, you talk about the gambling and all that.
He's a heavy gambler.
Yeah.
And so the NBA didn't want to, you know, baseball said, fuck it. We're not going to keep Pete Rose. But basketball said, we can't have Michael Jordan be suspended for life. So they gave him like 2 years suspension. So he said, I'll go play baseball. Now that's never confirmed, but.
Well, yeah, they talk about that in the rumors. But, you know, I mean, they talk about that in the series too, that, you know, like, look at it. He had literally been the key player for the Bulls all the way up until 91. Then he won 3 championships back to back, and he was exhausted. I mean, he was. I mean, and then plus his dad died. He was just done. Yeah. He was tired. And
well,
so
his dad was murdered.
Murdered, yeah. Right. And so he basically said, "I want some time off," and he retired. And then he's like, "Oh, I want to play baseball." And the same owner of the Bulls is the owner of the White Sox, which is why he went to the White Sox. And so it's just a way, you know, avenue. But they talk about that in the series too, that he was improving so much though that he probably would have gone up very soon if the strike hadn't happened.
He's no
team, though. And so, you know, when the strike happened, he was like, okay, well, I'll go back to basketball now.
But he was no – Bo Jackson, to me, is the greatest athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Of modern sports, because the guy was awesome in football, but even better in baseball. If he doesn't get hurt in football, if he would have quit football and just concentrated on baseball, he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm.
I mean, he could do it all. I mean, he was an amazing talent. Bo knows everything but hockey.
Oh, I remember that commercial.
where Gretzky goes, no.
I loved the on that commercial when it says, "Bo, you don't know Diddley," and it was Bo Diddley. That was
right.
So, God, I forgot about it.
I don't know great commercials. They don't have commercials like that nowadays. They just don't. Sorry. No.
But Bo doesn't know Jack because Bo don't rap.
Again, Bo doesn't know Jack.
True blue.
But it was no Karen.
But it is. I mean, you guys, I think you'll talk about it once you guys start watching that series. It is good about how, in order to be Jordan, like, in order to, he would just make shit up in his head to get himself psyched up to beat these players and beat these teams. Because, you know, and it's interesting because, like, someone would be like, they would ask him, like, is it true that blah, blah, blah did this? And he's like, no, I made it up. He's like, I just did that to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Muhammad Ali when he would just do stuff to, you know, to get in people's heads. Mike Jordan would do it for himself, though, inside his own head. But like, he's like, oh, you didn't say hi to me at dinner. Oh, you didn't look at me when I walked by you. So no, it's on now. You know, it's just anything he would do just to say, like, I'm going to beat your ass tonight. You know, and that's what was interesting to me. It's a good series. You do feel sorry because you can tell that the producers behind it definitely edited it to make certain people look bad or not as good as they are, you know, and so you do feel sorry for some of those guys like Pippen. They chose some of the worst parts about Pippen to show. And it's like, dude, Pippen's much better player, you know. But anyway,
without Pippen, they probably don't win.
Well, I'm saying like, yeah, exactly, because like
and Cartwright. I mean,
well, they talk about that, how like when Jordan Cartwright left, like how good Pippen was in those 2 seasons that Jordan wasn't there, you know. And but they don't choose to focus on like the good. They talk about like, oh, he wasn't paid, so he bitched a lot, you know, like, oh, he got hurt and didn't want to play because he wanted more money. Like they choose to focus on a lot of the negative things about his career instead of trying to prop him up as like not just being under Jordan's shadow.
And he was traded from Seattle.
He was drafted by Seattle, right? Yeah.
Supersonics.
I forget who he was drafted to. But I think that's right. Yeah. Then he was at the Bulls and he signed a 7-year contract for like hardly any money, which was stupid at the time. And then after the Bulls broke up, he went to, I want to say San Antonio or no, Phoenix. He went to the Phoenix Suns, but he hated Charles Barkley. So he then got moved to the Trailblazers and that's where he finished up.
Because I know that this Jordan was the third pick overall. Mm-hmm. Two people was Sam Bowie from Kentucky, right? Was it Sam? Was he from Kentucky?
I'm not sure.
He had bad legs anyway to start off, or bad feet, and he was a bust, even though he was a great player, but he couldn't stay healthy. Him and I forget the second pick. The second pick, was it Drexler?
I don't think it was Clyde, but I mean, it makes sense because you are correct though that it was the Trailblazers though that could have gotten Jordan.
Yeah,
it's because the
they had Drexler.
They already had Drexler because the teams that had the first and second pick did not need a power forward or guard. And so that's why they passed on him, even though they knew he was a good player and the Bulls really needed one. So
all right, now I gotta look it up.
Miami Mike says Seattle for Olden Polynice?
No, it wasn't him. But he went to Portland and
then joined up with Barkley in Houston. Yeah. Is what Miami Mike.
Right.
I trust what Mike's saying because he knows way more about sports than Jack or I.
That might. Yeah, I know Bo about sports.
You know Bo about sports. Hakeem Bowie Jordan. I don't think David Bowie.
Oh, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Olajuwon.
Arai Olajuwon.
Well, that makes sense. Hakeem Olajuwon. He was a great player.
Yeah.
And Sam Bowie. Portland drafted Sam Bowie, and he was a huge bust because couldn't stay healthy. And then Jordan, of course. You really can't argue with Houston taking Hakeem Olajuwon, even though they had Ralph Sampson at the time. But
Olajuwon was a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great player, but was he as good as Jordan?
No, of course not.
No, well, I mean, he played though for team. Like, he played for the Falcons. I mean, good God, the Falcons sucked, you know. And
the Falcons,
Atlanta. Didn't he play for Hakeem Olajuwon? I thought he got traded
at some point.
I think for the Rockets and played for the Falcons. I mean, he never had good teams behind him, you know.
You're talking about the Atlanta Falcons,
yeah.
No, the Atlanta Falcons.
Hawks. I'm sorry, the Hawks.
Hawks.
But it's a bird, you know, the Hawks is what I meant. Yeah.
Now, the Rockets were from San Diego originally, so Rockets stole our team. So, anyway, not bitter.
Hey, a news update that's not sports. Sorry, just changing the tune for a second.
No, don't.
We could talk about the fucking Celtics if you want. I don't give a fuck.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I wanted to talk a little bit about, Tashi Station.
Do you see strippers? That's not Tashi Station.
That's not what I meant to say. That's the weather evaporators or whatever the fuck.
Moisture. Good God. No wonder you're not on Owen Brews.
So talking about my concert woes of 2020, and I say my concert woes, everyone.
I'd rather talk about the Celtics, but go ahead.
I got my flights refunded.
Oh, nice.
To San Diego. Really? You actually got refunded. Wow.
Well, I got a credit.
That's what I said. I got credit. Oh, yeah.
Credit, yeah. So I got a credit, which is good because it's already been slated for next year because we're going to try and go to the Gorge in Seattle, oh, yeah. I think.
Somewhere in Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's in Oregon. So we're going to try and go to the Gorge next year to see Dave Matthews at the Gorge. That's the plan. So I'm going to keep that credit.
I think, that's one of the few legendary concert halls. It's not a hall, but like a concert place I have not been to yet. Venue, yeah. I'm going to go to, though, at some point. Yeah.
So I've experienced Red Rocks, as I've probably droned on a number of times in the past, but the Gorge is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to as well.
I mean, but don't you want to see a real artist instead of Dave Matthews?
That's a can of worms right there.
I'm just fucking.
I'll tell you this. Let me share my 30-second perspective on Dave Matthews.
Time him.
I appreciate Dave Matthews 10 times more now than I did when I was in like the 90s, you know, the 90s and the 2000s. Like, the musical talent of that band is fucking incredible. That's all I have to say.
I always think of, like, when I want to make fun of a band, I always think of David Spade had a bit on SNL where he's like, I went and saw the Eagles last night. He goes, they had the balls to open up the Hotel California. And then everybody just left. it's like, and then you have Glenn Frey going, hey, man, we got some other good tunes.
I'll tell you, man, like, if you go to see just to see Tim Reynolds on guitar, something.
Tim Reynolds, if Tim Reynolds is playing with them, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he's touring. He's with them 100% now.
Nice.
Yeah, he's full part of the band. In our other concert news, the Dropkick Murphys and Bruce Springsteen are going to be having a concert next Friday at Fenway Park. No attendees.
I was going to say, with people there.
Nope. No attendees. It's going to be an empty park, but they're going to broadcast it live for some charitable organizations too, which is kind of cool. So if you need to get your live music fix, you can check out the Dropkick Murphys plus Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, just speaking of music, I saw it yesterday because that's when it got posted. Like, I'm a big Pink Floyd fan. Basically any kind of music fan, though. But, like, you know, there's always been a long feud, 35 year-long feud between Roger Waters and David Gilmour. And, you know, Roger Waters had a huge tour lined up for this year. It had to cancel it all because of this. And so he, with his current band, like, did a cover of Mother off of The Wall. And he was just bitching because he's, for the last 20 years, he's tried to make things better with, you know, the band. And Gilmour just isn't having it. So, like, you're almost to the point now where you're, like, you kind of get bitter towards Gilmour. You're like, dude, get over it. It's been 35 years. Like, just shut up. You know, Rogers is a different guy than he was back then. But Rogers is just like, I don't know if he was drunk or what, but he's just ever going like, they won't let me post my things on the Pink Floyd website. I'm part of Pink Floyd. You know, it's like, yeah. But he's not because he quit. He's like, Gilmour won't let me. It's like, like we were talking earlier, a Karen moment where it's like, shut up, Karen. You know, like, because he's over bitching that he won't let me put my link on the website.
You know? You quit. You're a quitter.
Yeah.
Stop being petulant children.
Yeah. But that's what it is. Because, like, I mean, I know that Rick Wright is dead, which sucks because he's kind of like the George Harrison of Pink Floyd. But I would love to see a Pink Floyd tour, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the same thing with Fleetwood Mac. You know, they can't stop fucking each other, and it's just going to screw everything up. And also, Lindsey Buckingham's voice is thrashed. I think he had to have surgery.
So it's Stevie Nicks. And then, you know, I mean, they're all just, you know, it's the same as with Christine McVie. I mean, she quit in 98 and then didn't join again until last year. And it's just, you get tired of that. And they, you know, I think a lot of them, it's the same as like with any major band, you get tired of playing the same shit all the time. Oh, and yeah. Like, that's, I know Christine McVie, when she rejoined, that was like her one rule. It's like, I'm never, ever playing Songbird again. It's like, that's it. That's the one I'm joining. Cause like, I'm tired of playing that fucking song.
Yeah. So, Randy in the chat's mentioning that they've seen Bruce Springsteen 50 times, including Europe.
You're like that guy in the movies, the Bruce Springsteen movie.
I'll tell you,
has he ever invited you on stage?
Did he pull you up? You do like a cheesy dance? Like, yeah.
I've only seen Bruce.
Randy was on Friends.
Dude, I've only seen Bruce once, and I went and got, I got tickets like 2 days before the concert because they it was at Gillette Stadium. They opened up the upper bowl, which they weren't planning on doing, but they sold the lower bowl and they opened up the upper decks. And I got tickets for $20, like face value $20, to go see Bruce Springsteen. It was dollar for dollar, minute for minute, the best deal I've ever had in buying a concert ticket, because it was like a 3.5 hour show that was amazing, blew my mind. And this dude is like, I don't know, he's older than Jack, which is crazy.
He's like 70. Like
he puts on a fucking incredible show.
I saw him like at the Super Bowl.
Like, you'd never think that he's 70, right? You would never ever think that from his performance. And it was an incredible concert. I hope to have the experience again of, you know, to see him play live. But
that's what's crazy about a lot of those guys. I mean, we were talking about Keith Richards last episode going forward. It's like, you think he'd be dead, but like, I've seen the Stones 3 times in concert, and you get what's going on. And
that wasn't even a private chat.
But like,
there's Mick Jagger's stage direction there.
Yeah, I mean, Mick Jagger's what, 78, something like that, and he's out there dancing and flapping about. Like, good God!
I'm just not a Stones fan. Never have been.
Nor am I. I mean, I like the Stones. I appreciate.
I just don't.
Stones,
I don't. I don't. They're all right.
They got some good stuff, man.
Their older stuff is good.
Exile on Main Street. Oh, you mean got to be one of the best albums that they ever did. I feel personally.
I stand by what I said. Second disc was kind of okay, but like, yeah, I like the first.
Exile's on okay.
No. I think Exile is probably their best, as in like their most focused record. But go ahead, Jack.
Their music is great in any Vietnam movie. There you go.
I haven't seen any of their music in a Vietnam movie.
Painted Black.
Westworld, Jimi Hendrix too.
Yeah, I'll tell you though, much like with Dave Matthews, I was mentioning before, I now appreciate some of the music way more now than I did before, and that's also the case right now for me with over the last like 2 or 3 years. You guys know this. I've gotten into the Grateful Dead quite a bit and seeing Dead and Company shows, and during the quarantine, they've been doing not only the Dead and Company shows, but they've also been doing weekly Grateful Dead concerts. I never appreciated the Grateful Dead for what they really are, and they are amazing. I wish I had the opportunity to see them, you know, back in the day.
You should.
but it's probably never fucking outstanding.
You should buy David Crosby's first solo record, If I Could Only Remember My Name, because it is the Grateful Dead with David Crosby and with Neil Young as well. And because this is before the Grateful, If I Could Only Remember My Name. What? Because
I can't hear what you're saying.
Only Remember My Name is the David Crosby's first album, 1971. And this is before the Grateful Dead really became the Grateful Dead. This is before Working Man's Blues was released. It was recorded before it was released anyway. And, you know, because David actually thought about stealing the Grateful Dead as like his backing band and joining that band for a while. But then Working Man's Dead and American Beauty dropped, you know, in 70, and then it was all history by that point. But it's great. I mean, you can hear Jerry playing a lot of guitar with David, and it's a great record.
Isn't it the one that has movie star?
Huh? Yeah, this is Cowboy the movie.
Cowboy movie. Yeah.
Music is Love, Cowboy movie. Tom Hollis.
That is like one of my favorites.
Traction in the Rain.
Traction in the Rain. Yeah, it's a good record.
I was going to say that's just one of my favorite songs is the Cowboy movie.
Yeah, so. Cowboy movie is a biographical song about when CSNY broke up.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. I don't know if that was actually on air or off, you know, unlike, Chris's playlist.
Did you download it or are you just going to stream it, Chris?
I just added it to my library so I can just stream it.
Make sure that you have Kids and Dogs in there, which will be the last track. That was an outtake, and that's just David and Jerry jamming and then some harmony over top of it. It's absolutely beautiful. And you can actually hear in the first few minutes when they're tuning, because they're clearly high as a kite. You can hear David and Jerry laugh right before they get going, and it's just you hear that Jerry deep kind of laugh.
So the last track on here is I Swear There Was Somebody Here.
Yeah, that's just but like on the 2006 CD release, there's an extra bonus track called Kids and Dogs, and you need to listen to that one.
Living too. Together.
But I'm looking
for it. Did they ever figure out
what David Crosby's, and you mentioned David Crosby, his one he fathered with,
he spermed up last week. Yeah.
Did they ever figure out why he died?
Heroin.
Oh, it was heroin?
Heroin, yeah. Yeah, he was 21. And apparently, he'd been a junkie for quite a while.
Who's this?
So in 99, Melissa Etheridge and her partner wanted to have kids. David had recently had a child with his wife at a late age. And she was friends with David and asked if David would donate, you know, for them two to both have children. And so he donated enough for Melissa and her partner, and they had two kids from David's sperm. And the child that Melissa had died last week of heroin overdose.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
He was only 20, right?
He was 21. Yeah. David didn't say much about it. He just said, you know, that he was sad. You know, and Melissa was kind enough to, over the years, if he wanted to come by, he could visit, you know, and play with the kid and all that. Yeah. But it was never like ever intentional to be like a father son type thing. It was just like their kid. I'm just the donor, you know. But,
yeah. I forgot about that. I actually, now that you're mentioning it, I remember that being like in the news when it happened.
A big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that as well.
Yeah. I met Django a few times, which is David's son, with his current wife, who is 23 now. So, yeah.
Nice.
Another good kid.
One thing I wanted to mention that I've been enjoying is you know, and it's a band that I come back to again and again is Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
And specifically the album Life. There is a song on there called Into My Own Thing. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. I just I love that song. There's just something about that song that just it's just such a grooving song. But the album Life by Sly and the Family Stone.
A grooving song.
That's a good. There's awesome. An artist who completely, when he was done and just dropped off the planet, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no! There are several albums by Sly that I
they're great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's they're such a forward thinking band, and like so many of their songs, I mean like really didn't catch fire until later. You know, even in the 90s, you know, I mean as much as I hated when Toyota picked up some of their songs and really just played them to death as commercials. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, but so many great songs from Sly. So that I've been listening to, and then I recently, it's been on my to watch list. I mean, I know we all have these like shows that we want to watch, movies like Das Boot.
apparently not all of us.
But I had been wanting to watch the show Atlanta. It's been on my like my to watch list on Hulu, and I finally got around to watching Atlanta. And oh my god, like that show is so good. Like I like binged like 5 episodes in one night. I like had to just put it down because I was like, okay, like, you know,
it's brilliant.
It is. It's just and Donald Glover. I mean, I knew he was amazing. Like from both Community, the music that he's done as Childish Gambino, and you know, I loved him in Solo. So many things that he's amazing at. But then, you know, seeing his work.
So you're 5 episodes in.
6, I think. I watched one last night.
Because there's an episode in season 1. I'm not sure what episode it is. It could be one of the funniest episodes in television history. It is so fucking funny.
What was it about? Which refresh my memory. What was the?
It's kind of goes off. It's like a.
So one that has the commercials and like.
Yes. It's kind of.
Yeah, I watched that one last night as well. So maybe
okay, that's yeah. the 7th it's so episode. Funny. So, and then of course season 2 has the episode that is so. Kind
yes.
Of intense.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm with, waiting.
What's the name? Character's name.
I just looked it up. Like last.
This is
night.
Where Florida Man came from, right? It came from Atlanta, right? Atlanta.
No.
I thought Atlanta came because there's a scene where he talks about Florida Man.
Teddy.
Thank you. Yes. I'm looking it up right now, and I know the viewers are probably like.
What's crazy about that episode is that's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know that watching it.
Teddy Perkins.
Yes. I didn't realize he was playing that role until afterwards. And I was like, holy shit. Like, and they were saying like in the making of that episode that he was in a complete like Teddy Perkins mode the entire time on set. Like he was no fucking around, method acting.
I'm looking forward to that episode that is in season 2. And just to give you like an idea, I mean, like the episodes, you know, on IMDb are rated fairly high, like 8s and 9s here and there. But Teddy Perkins has a rating of 9.7.
It's incredible.
It's an amazing episode.
So
the Oktoberfest episode is really, really great too.
I remember when it aired and like the acclaim and everything, and I knew like, oh, I need to watch Atlanta. I need to watch Atlanta. Just never. I didn't have Hulu at the time, or maybe for whatever reason it just like escaped me. But yeah, I just dove into that show and I have loved it. And on a completely different frame of mind, I've also been catching up on Rick and Morty season 4. So I've been watching Rick and Morty because they had so many of the episodes are available to watch. So I find Rick and Morty to be endlessly funny and hilarious. So catching up on season 4 has been really
never seen it.
It's so wrong, so good.
It's a cartoon, right?
It's a cartoon. Yes. You know, Jay loves it. It's kind of like Doc Brown and Marty, and it's different. You've seen the Pringles commercial lately, haven't you? They've been doing that one where like the kids going, like, "Hey, let's combine chips," you know, blah blah blah. And then
they tag commercials.
If no one knows it, that's how you can.
Nobody watches commercials these days. That's why we don't.
Am I the one where Nick's kind of breaking up?
No, Nick's breaking up altogether. It's ever since he started talking about David Crosby.
Am I really breaking up?
I thought it was just me.
Sorry. No.
Yeah, you look like the security footage for like a bank heist. You know, it's always the shittiest footage that they submit to the police.
But my doorbell camera can pick up anything, but not the security cameras. Yeah, you're like
Yeah, yeah.
We going to do. Well, let me hang up and I'll come back.
Let's all leave.
Sure. So we're going to go ahead and end this show before Nick comes back and just kind of surprise him with, like, what the fuck just happened. So,
Oh, Randy finished Lilyhammer. I started that.
Oh, yes.
But I never finished it.
Better.
Much soft. Better. You need a haircut. Anyway, no.
I'm just going to get shaggy. I look like a Yeti before long.
I got a haircut last weekend.
You went out of quarantine, you selfish bastard.
It was a backyard haircut. My buddy, after drinking like 7 beers, busted out the clippers. And I was like, let's fucking go. So he did the sides and the back. He did an all right job. You gotta give him credit. Didn't touch the top, though. You didn't want to mess with the top.
Yeah, it's not
but
bad.
But the night that he did it, then like I was like, you know, my hair wasn't really, you know, before I took a shower the whole nine, I was just kind of like all messy.
Greasy.
I looked like a mix, a cross between Jorah Mormont and like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
with grayscale or no grayscale?
No grayscale. Sans grayscale.
Good stuff.
But yeah, my barbershop actually opens up next week. I think on Tuesday.
Until it closes a month later.
I'm not going in because, first of all, yes, from what you just said. But second of all, even before coronavirus was a thing and before the resurgence of the madness that will be, you know, barbershops and beauty salons, it is going to be a shit show at these places. And have no desire to be sitting and waiting for all that crap.
Well, I don't know about your state, but our state, since it opened, and this hasn't even, you really can't go by that because it takes, 2 to 3 weeks before it to, the average is up 200 cases a day since they reopened.
Yeah, smart, right?
And my son-in-law works for NC State. And he said what NC State is going to do is they're going to open, but they're going to have a class and then an hour break where they go in and clean, the cleaning crew cleans all the classrooms.
That's smart.
Yeah. And then have another class. Every hour they're going to have a class, clean the class. Hour.
I can't believe that they're having classes. I mean, like, we're a lot of our schools here are still having, like, they're basically doing.
Our governor had done such a great job, and then he just bowed to the pressure.
I mean, I
get it because there's no stimulus going on. So it's like, but anyway, I don't know.
I still go back to, you know, and I know I talked about this on a previous show, but if they had frozen across the board, and I know, you know, Jack, you mentioned, like, you know, if you can, you know, you could ask, you know, or what have you, but across the board, though, all mortgages, all rent, you know, for, especially for small businesses, because I see these small businesses folding like cards here and there. And I'm thankful that we were able to maintain, like, you know, website sales that have kept us afloat and treading water. But, you know, I feel for these small businesses that are collapsing left and right, you know, because rent is the biggest thing. That's what all businesses, you know, have to consider. You know, it's the biggest bill that you have to pay, you know?
Yeah.
So
I know I had a small business once. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, you got to support your local business as much as you can. And I've actually done that. I've had much more of a conscious effort of doing that since all of this, which I think is probably the good thing that's going to come out of this, is that I think a lot more people are going to support local business. I bought a grill for a replacement grill. technically, it was my wife's gift to me for my birthday / anniversary / Father's Day gift. All in one fell swoop.
Well, happy birthday.
And not yet. Birthday? That's not my, I haven't had a birthday yet, but it's been over.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah. Chris. Happy Father's Day.
It's not happening. Oh, that's fine. You can say happy
Father's Day. Congrats. You're 40 I'm
not
years old.
I'm not that's celebrating amazing. A birthday this year. But anyway, I am getting over the hill. I know. Like I was talking to my mom the other day. I was like, Mom, I remember your 40th birthday grill. Party. Yeah. Nice double grill. It's a triple, actually. I was like, Mom, I remember your 40th birthday. Like, I remember vividly being at our neighbor's house. I remember they got she got like a shitty mug from me that says "Over the Hill" on it, right? Like yeah. I remember the stupid shit.
What a dick.
I think my dad helped me pick it out though, which is the best part. That is so my dad. Yeah, so I'm getting this new grill. It's supposed to be delivered this week, I hope. But I got a Weber Genesis. I'm super excited for it. I don't know where I was going with the whole grill thing.
You were saying how you're turning
a local business. So normally I would have. I was going to say, well, I'm just going to buy this from Home Depot and put it in the Home Depot card, finance it for 6 months, and call it a day. But I decided not to. I went to a local appliance shop here in Franklin. And I reached out to them and like, yeah, we carry them. We don't carry them in stock. We have an account with Weber. So you buy one from them. They just order it and bring it in. So I did that. And then he was like, oh, you know, really, really appreciate this. You know, I'm going to give you the early pricing. So these are going to drop from Weber for Memorial Day. It's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you that pricing. He's like, I'll bring it to you. We'll deliver it. I'll assemble it. And I was like, shit, this is great. She's like, yeah, we'll do that for you. And I'm also going to throw in, a tank refill and a car wash. I was like, holy shit.
A car wash.
Yeah. Great question. A great inquiry, I guess should say, but like because what they're doing is they're supporting other local businesses in Franklin as well. Okay. So what they're doing is they've got like these coupons that they buy from, you know, like a local petroleum company that does gas deliveries and LP. And then the local car wash place as well, they've been closed. They're not an essential business. Right. So they went and bought all of these gift cards from these other local businesses. And that's what that's what's happening. Like all these businesses are reaching out and helping each other out, which I think is fucking awesome. So they're all just kind of like banding together and it's driving awareness through the sales. Like from this appliance shop is giving me all this stuff to go on. So now I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go and give my business to another local place here in town, which I think is awesome. So, if you can support your local businesses as much as you can, a great way of doing it. Example, I need a fucking haircut. Like you read about, I'm not going to get one anytime soon, but when they open up, I'm going to go down and I'm going to prepay for like 10 haircuts. Hmm. Right. I know I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to get them. So I'm just going to buy myself a gift card for like, you know, what's it? $300. Right. That's going to give me 10 haircuts.
What if they go out of business?
Oh, that's, well, a gamble you make, but okay. I guess, you know, but I do it with my coffee shop. I every time I go and buy coffees, I'll buy an extra gift card just as like my own investment, because I know I'm going to go there. I'm going to spend the money at this place, and if I have a few extra bucks, I'm going to put it onto a gift card just to put money into these places to kind of help them as like almost like as their own stimulus, because they're not getting help.
Well, you had Pier 1. Is gone.
JCPenney's toast. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Oh, it's because my wife and I were talking about we went by this one mall. I didn't realize it's not opening until tomorrow, but it was like dead. It was like it's a mall that's been struggling anyway for a while here. They built it when we first moved here, but they didn't keep up the hip stores and whatever it was. But it's struggling. But we were talking about Sears. I said, you know, Sears, why didn't they get into they should have been on the spot about delivery. Cause they had the fucking catalog that as a kid,
they should have been Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. How did someone there not figure that out? How did someone at Sears not figure it out?
It's all about adaptability, man.
It's adaptability. Yeah, yeah. It's about moving forward. And the people, especially as you get older, you get like, oh, this is working for us and we'll just stick to it. I mean, it's the same as like, you know, my family was in the nursery business since like the early, like 1909 or 1907 or something like that. And my grandfather, when he took over, you know, they'd been doing the same thing for 70 years or whatever of just, you know, the tree and the big ball and the burlap, you know. And then, but somewhere in the 70s, 80s, you know, it started going to those flat plastic pots you see at Walmart and Lowe's and all that. And he didn't want to do that because it was like, well, that causes us more labor because we have to take it out and then put it in that, you know, and all this. But that's what people want because it's lighter for them to pick up and put it in their truck.
Right.
And that costs us severely by not doing that. I mean, it's just, so it's like just little things like that will cost you from just being stubborn and like, well, this has worked for 70 years. Why would it not work now? You know, and.
You know, there's a great TED talk that I actually was sharing as part of from work today. and kind of sharing the whole the theory of adaptability and how important it is, which is really cool. So there's a story about this guy who went and got a meeting with the CEO of Blockbuster Video, who happens to be John Antioco, I forget what his name is. But so this dude goes in and gets this meeting with the CEO of Blockbuster and was like, "Hey, I've got this idea where we could kind of change the game of Blockbuster and go into doing like a home delivery of movies." And the CEO of Blockbuster is like, fuck you, dude. Like, we're a $1 billion company. I've got thousands and thousands of stores. We're, you know, we're good. We don't need your idea." Mm-hmm. And that person who was in the meeting was Reed Hastings, CEO of Netflix. So,
oh, wow.
Netflix is now like a $19 billion company or something crazy, right? Like that. And mm-hmm. and then Blockbuster filed for bankruptcy back in early 2000s. That just goes to show the whole theory of adaptability is huge, because like Blockbuster is looking at it from a, you know, from a bottom line financial standpoint. They're making so much money. They looked at only the money. They didn't look to see what could be, right?
Right.
You know, yeah. They're not looking at like they're looking at what's in front of them, but you always have to be looking around the corner to see what could go wrong, right?
You have to stay one step ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's a difference between the, what have I done versus what could be done.
Yeah. 10 years ago, that's how long the business that I help run has been online selling paper. So before that, we had a website and you could look at the papers, but you could
thank Ryan Howard for that, right?
And I'm the Ryan Howard, so okay. of our business, because I, you know, 10 years ago I was just like, hey, we're moving. We're going to lose a lot of our walk-in traffic. We need to have it so that people can buy our papers directly from us online. At that point, it was very rudimentary. And over the years, I've just improved, you know, what we can do. So one of the listeners asks, how do we make paper from dolphins? Well, we don't grind up the dolphins to make paper.
These porpoises?
No.
Tuna?
I'll tell you a little something, okay? So since the company was named after the original owner and creator of Dolphin Papers.
From Miami? Were,
no. Uh-uh. Thanks for jumping in, though.
Dan Marino?
Nope, not at all. You want to
eat? Chris, Ray Finkel?
Huh? Nope, not even close.
Did he wear isotoner gloves?
Yeah, actually has more to do with Band of Brothers than you'd think. So he was in World War II and served with Jack. And while Jack was jacking around and pissed
Jack,
off.
You can say jacking off. You can say it.
I know. People, you know, and Jack was pissed off about people abusing his name. The original owner of Dolphin Papers was coming back on a boat and was mesmerized, or I guess inspired by, all of these dolphins that were jumping in front of the boat. Because that's what dolphins will do. They will jump in front of boats because they can catch the wave. Because of what? Because they're assholes.
Because they're assholes.
That's right. Laugh it up, fuzzball. Anyway, he named the company. Eventually, he didn't make the company right away. He created the company somewhere in 78. Yeah, officially, we kind of use 1980 as our.
Are we talking about paper date. Still?
So, just talking about
it's an episode of The Office.
Or as Randy says, Das Boot.
Das Boot. The dolphins are jumping in front of the Das Boot.
That's the long and short of how our company.
I wish it were short. So.
Oh. Oh wow.
I was intrigued, Matt.
I was talking for 5 seconds.
Hold on, Matt. I was interested on I always wondered how got the hiccups, got dolphin, got the name in paper in Indiana.
Well, there that's where it came from. So it came
Did they have dolphins in Lake Michigan? The only water that's near
we're
you.
We're not even close to Lake Michigan, technically. So,
nor are dolphins.
do they use dolphin meat at the Jack in the Box tacos in Indiana?
There's not even meat in Jack in the Box tacos.
No, not at all.
Oh, so, my goodness gracious.
Well, on that note, guys. So, thank you, Jesse, for listening.
Michael Jordan was listening.
My only point that I was trying to make was that 10 years ago I had said, like, hey, we need to be able to have a website where people can buy our stuff directly. Who knew that 10 years later during a pandemic that would be the lifeboat that kept us afloat, because people could order directly from us, and that was, you know, the revenue streaming in for all of those online orders. Yeah. is you know, basically, you know, as opposed to a lot of stores that, you know, would be shut down. And we're a small, large company. So, you know,
I know when Amazon was like a few dollars a share, I kept saying, I should probably buy Amazon because this is going to be the wave of the future. I go, people are not going to want it. They're going to want it. My wife always goes, we should have done it. Should have done it.
It's the same as Netflix. I mean, I remember when Netflix came out going like, that's the dumbest thing ever. Like, who... You know, that's not going to work. And then, sure enough,
I thought Netflix was great when they would send you the disc. I thought that was it. I don't have to go out.
Well,
I don't take my kids with me. Like,
that's how
5 hours
Lost.
Well, that's what
they take 5 hours to pick a movie. Pick a movie. Let's go, Jay.
But I like that though. Like, I mean, I guess because me just being where I'm from, I liked going in the truck with my dad to like block. We didn't have a Blockbuster. We had our local movie rental. I liked going and picking out, you know, the disc behind the thing and all that. It was just part of bonding. And so it was like, oh, you can get mail to you. That's cool, but I don't see it working. And then it wasn't until they got online that
I'm driving. I'm like your dad, like, we're going to the store.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have arthritis. So that's just what I'm doing.
when our kids were younger, we would take them, we'd have family dinner. And then we say, okay, each one of you can pick a movie, go to Blockbuster. I just remember Jay taking forever.
Well, you'd walk into these places, yeah, right? And you'd be looking and you're hoping that there'd be a box behind the movie or the game that you wanted to get. Yeah. And right, there was nothing more disappointing on a Friday night when you walk in, right? And you see all the different copies of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and they're all blanks behind it and there's nothing there.
That's actually one of my latest favorite memes of like the last year or so. It was like, you know, the generation, whatever they are now, the new ones. It's like, we'll never know the struggle. And it was just a shot of the wall.
Yeah. Yes.
Nothing but empty, you know, it's like,
and have you ever been the person that said, maybe I'll just wait a few minutes to see if someone returns?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I know my wife, rented a Chorus Line one time. And then I was cleaning out the back of the car a few weeks later, a month later, I go, oh, a Chorus Line that cost us $80. And I said,
oh yeah. I remember you telling that story.
I said, you gotta be. So I said, you're not allowed to rent movies anymore.
Oh, look, and Will says in the chat, he still gets Netflix discs for new releases.
How old are you, Will?
Wow.
I cannot remember the last time. He's
38.
I was just about to say, I don't remember the last time I actually acquired a physical medium, but I do, and it was Das Boot.
when I go to Walmart, you know, they have a couple of Redbox booths out there, and I'm always amazed that there's people waiting to get a Redbox. I'm like, what the hell, man?
When the Married Man Show had Warm Taffy on there, what, 5, 6, how long has it been since he's been on? He was talking about going, I go, Redbox? Who the fuck goes to Redbox? And he goes, well, I go there and I have Slate. And I go, dude, just get Netflix or Hulu. You don't need Redbox.
I used to do Redbox. I mean, I would do Redbox because I would get like free videos I used to get free videos all the time from them. And
one out in front of our Circle K.
They're great for video games. Yeah. Like if you want to test out a game before you're going to buy it, go and spend $4 and you can get the game for the night. But the problem is their business model is fucking brilliant. Like who gets lazy? Everyone. And no one brings their shit back on time. And then they make it's actually a great business model. And there's hardly any work you have to put into it. But you sit there, you place this fucking box there. And it just
does. I was in the wrong comment section. Sorry, guys.
Not great for porn.
Well, There you go.
One of my favorite things about having Amazon Prime is that, you know, it could be some old movie, you know, like when Jack was growing up. And
they were the best movies. Let's
and, you know, but like, I'm like, oh, you should watch this movie. And I'm like, oh, and I'll just put it on my watch list on Amazon and it'll be free. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. You know,
but I was watching one of our favorite movies, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, Catherine Ross. Mm-hmm. She was it Catherine Ross. She was banned. She was banned from the set. Yeah.
Right.
She could only be there on when she was shooting.
When she was shooting,
because she had a fight with the director or something like that. Right?
Well, I understand both sides of that. Is that because it was the whole beginning of the feminist movement, and she wanted to be a woman director because there wasn't hardly any at the time, so she wanted to get her chops. But she went about it the wrong way, and she even admits that, like on the because I have it on DVD or Blu-ray, or whatever, and it has all those behind the scenes stuff. Is that she basically demanded to him that she gets to direct some of the scenes. And so he actually was very nice and let her do some of the train stuff, but they actually showed the footage of stuff that she did, and it was terrible. Like the lighting was terrible. Everything she did was terrible. And so basically, but because she was so demanding, he basically said, you know, like, yeah, you can only come when you're shooting now. And she admits that she was too arrogant and didn't have any directorial experience or any kind of, you know, so it's both sides on that one.
No. Marie in the chat says, hey, Matt, a smaller cup is not going to help at this point.
I put more water in this one.
Uh-oh.
See, it sounds like water.
So over the last 15 minutes, Matt has gone from
okay
to Matt.
Well, he's in the city in the clouds now.
With a biplane.
Yeah, this was one of the Legos that I found.
Oh. I actually had that one too.
Yeah,
yeah, I do have that one. It's a good one.
It can flip. You guys are buddies.
Yeah, it does. I know. Yeah, I have that one at home.
Yeah, and the guy has like a little red hat, just like your dad.
Okay.
It was a joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
No. Those are the awkward jokes from Matt.
Oh, I just got it. I forgot Matt goes down that direction. So. Yeah.
I always wonder how Bespin stands up on that little stick.
Do you have this police car?
I did not. No, I didn't have a paddy wagon.
I thought that was a Winnebago.
I just got a shipment notification. My baby Yoda's on its way.
Oh. My baby Yoda.
I wanted to say congratulations to your wife as well.
We got our baby Yoda, baby.
Yeah, like the Mandalorian season 2 is looking like a crazy
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah,
I ordered some shit back at the beginning of quarantine. I forgot what it was.
The last rumor that I heard about Timothy Oliphant was that he was possibly playing Boba Fett.
Yeah, he's gonna be in the armor. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm assuming he'll be.
I don't know why he would take that role though, because you know you won't see him, and then the voice will obviously be the actor who does Django. So you're like, well, why would you do that?
We also, and just for those fans like Greg, who are upset about Boba Fett possibly being in, we also don't know who is wearing the armor. It might not be the actual person that fell into the Sarlacc pit.
True. That's true.
So
it's the same actor.
Well, we also don't know if he's playing like
the actual Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. He could be playing Commander Rex.
Right.
Which would make more sense because you're going to have Ahsoka.
Right.
So, that makes sense. So yeah. I did get, let me see here. I got two Funko Pops and a Baby Yoda plush, which I'm pretty excited about.
Nice. Did you get the one I have? Not sure yet. Oh.
You have a ceiling? I still think Timothy Oliphant should remake Dirty Harry, and it should be Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, but see, 10 years ago, you would have said somebody else should play.
I said Josh Holloway.
Right.
But now it's Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, you brought Baby Yoda to the set.
Yep. That's on its way here now.
This is what everybody tunes in for the live feed for. So, all of the fun.
And then I got a Funko Pop, the child with a cup of soup.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then I got...
Is that a penguin? Yeah.
It's a penguin. My mom got it for me when last time I was out in San Diego, because every time when I was a kid, I went to the zoo, first thing I wanted to go see was the penguins.
Yeah.
And I got another one with him eating the frog.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who was it? I forget what music, what zoo it was. They let the penguins run around in the grass, like in a different animals area. And it was just, it was interesting to watch penguins.
It's probably somewhere in the south where you could probably shoot them, right? There was a shooting range.
Wow. Why not?
Wow. Yeah. Jack.
You live in the south, Jack. I'm just saying.
I know. So that's why I'm saying. I figured that we got to do some hunting.
Well, have you ever eaten penguin before? It's tasty.
We got to go penguin hunting.
Yeah. Is it a dark or white meat? I don't know. We'll find out.
They're all dressed in those tuxedos.
What one last thought that I had as you guys were talking about old movies, classic movies, basically like Blockbuster. I watched a Disney Plus movie with my kids. Well, it was on Disney Plus. I hadn't seen it for a long time, and it reminded me, like Nick, of the conversation we were having earlier about like movies from the 80s and how like so much of the practical effects were there, you know. And it was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Oh, hadn't seen that movie in so long. My kids loved watching that.
It's all the driving.
And all of the practical effects in that movie, you know, it's just like, you know, they made those sets, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, as you know, cheesy as some of the things are, you know, it was definitely like a fun family movie to watch with my kids. So
I went to Disneyland once. I went to Disney World twice. Both times Disney World, early 90s. And I remember, like, they had this huge Honey, I Shrunk the Kids area with, you know, huge Lego bricks, you know, all that stuff, you know, giant oatmeal cookie you could stand on. And I also remember, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was also a big deal, too. So, like, that stuff at the time, I was like, and now, of course, everybody's like, what the hell is Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What the hell is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? But, and speaking of that, like, I saw a picture of Rick Moranis the other day, him being interviewed, and I was like, and I haven't seen him since, what, 20 years or more, because he's been retired. Mm-hmm. It's like, and you hate, it's like
he retired when his wife died, right?
His wife died, yeah.
Right. And then, but like, you know, because in your brain, you always think of him as a certain way he looks. And you're like, holy shit, Rick got old. And you're like, well, yeah, it makes sense. You know.
So he's coming back for the sequel, right?
Coming back, yeah.
That's great.
Weird moment when I'm watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with my kids. My daughter says, is that Mark Hamill? I was like, no.
Which one?
Not Rick Moranis.
Oh, you thought? Like,
Well, I mean, hey,
did you put gin in her juice or what?
No. You have to understand, though. Like,
the gin she box. Just thinks,
she just thinks all white guys from the 80s look alike. So you know, it's just a stereotype.
But Rick, but they don't look alike
at all. They? No.
Okay.
Mark Hamill looks more like the big brother from the movie than he does.
They're about the same size, right? Rick Moranis and Mark Hamill.
Maybe. But
holy shit. Randy says that Rick Moranis is 67.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just 2 years older than Jack.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
On that note, we're about at that time, you know, where the old
bedtime for you, yeah.
Bedtime, it's getting too late for me. I gotta go sleep in a tent outside, keep away from my wife. COVID life. So no, seriously though, my kids
trust you.
Man, you really do open up with the gin, don't you, buddy?
The happy buzz.
No. My kids are actually camping outside tonight, so
I'm supposed to go outside with you. And
sleep with them. What?
What?
Wait, what?
I'm just gonna try and get on your level.
Oh, it's a little late though, Chris.
Don't make me feel
sleep nice.
Every time Chris breaks out the weed, it just always makes me jealous. Anyway, on that note,
you suck. Edibles.
For those of us that have joined us live in the chat, like Nicholas Dunn and Chris Skypeck, I kid. M. Jesse, Randy, Will Fry, Chris Duran. I hope I always pronounce your name correctly. John, the UPS guy.
I just looked at the private chat.
Sherry was on here earlier. By the way, Chris, if I mispronounce your name, just tell me at some point and maybe I'll figure it out. Miami Mike, always good seeing you as well. Miss you, buddy. And if I've forgotten anybody, like Ro, I know you were joining us earlier in the chat. Thank you, Craig. Craig, thank you for remembering something that Chris completely forgot. And no, Craig, this was 2 hours ago, so I realized that this was a long time ago. But thank you, everyone, for joining us live in the chat.
Great joke. Really...
Oh, I do still have a little bit of gin left. It's right here in the bottom of my cup.
Oh! It's like a letter that came for Jack.
It reads.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
No, thank you really though for everybody that joins us live. You know, it's always a fun show to have this way, and you know, we'll keep doing that.
Are we gonna keep doing this even though the people are going back to work? Or is that
what? Is it really over? Is quarantine really over?
Relax.
Yeah, like my company is opening back up slowly on June 1st, and they basically, we had a meeting today, and it was like, if you want to come in, come in. If you don't want to come in, don't come in. But just so you know, you have to wear a mask all fucking day if you're at the office. So everybody's like, well, I'm not coming in.
Yes. Somebody has to wear a mask all day.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, you know, I can wear a mask, but like, I don't want to wear one all day. I mean, good
I will
God.
Gladly wear a mask to be having a job and healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I'll
gladly pay really you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Nice. Well done. You got a Popeye reference in here.
Yeah, you know what?
We never got around to our cartoon verses. Maybe next week we'll hammer something out about another verses.
I hate winning. Can we pick something where I'm not going to win?
You know, if you would actually pick someone who's out of J pick, you actually might get a competition, Jack.
Well, we don't want to give you like sports options because we know you'd lose. Win. So
yeah.
Anyway, at that point,
fuck being Spanos. Oh, we didn't mention this. That you see that Kroenke had to borrow $500 million from the NFL.
Oh, wow.
To build that fucking stadium of his, because it's so, it was supposed to originally cost $2.5 billion. It's up to $6 billion. He's borrowed $900 million for this thing. And they're also saying that if the NFL doesn't have fans this year, it's going to cost the NFL $5.5 billion. So people like Spanos are going to be hurting.
I really don't see how, because I know the Broncos announced their schedule, and I don't see how you can do it, have sports, because I mean you have showers, you have contact-to-contact hitting with a lot of sweat, a lot of things, you know, like, well, all it takes is one person.
I did read that they're trying to develop a mask that the players can wear to protect them, but they're like going, because
they're going to be breathing all heavy.
I go, how are they going to wear that in Denver?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Matt.
Lost Matt.
So one person gets sick, they're going to have to stop.
Yep. But then like, it was in Tokyo or Seoul. I can't remember. Is it Korea or Japan?
South Korea?
Where the guy was jogging and had a fucking collapsed lung from breathing through a mask.
Oh, no. I was thinking about the soccer team that got fined because they put blow up sex dolls in the stands instead of.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
So good.
Well, putting fake fans in the stands, they got that from the LA Chargers.
Yeah. Matt, you are in the process of shutting the shit down.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing me back on point. So, if you enjoy this show, and clearly you do, because
great
you're
show, kids, one another.
Don't step on this. Don't step on this train.
I thought we were done.
Keep going, Matt. Matt, you got this. Keep going.
Thank you. I'm staying on point. So, if you like this show and you don't like white supremacy, go ahead and give us an email at. It's a callback. It's a long callback.
They don't know. It was edited, dude.
RCADcast@gmail.com. We would appreciate all of your emails. Give us a review, rate, or review us, but hopefully you give us a 5-star. We would really appreciate that. This show would not be made possible without your
gin.
Support.
Well, I think our sponsor viewers, this one, Bombay Sapphire.
And viewers like gin. You can help us out by buying your best supervisor ever mug on jandjack.com/Amazon or flip that if that is wrong. You can always go to janjack.com, click on the Amazon link, or become a patron, donate at a level that would help us out.
Matt's turning into Harry Carey any second. Hey, you guys like the podcast?
Hey, you like the podcast?
This is one in a million, guys.
Look, Jesse is telling me to stay focused. Just, you know, focus. So, and I apologize for getting your first name. Anyway, Marie. Thank you. I knew.
It's only been said like 8 times, but that's okay. You're older and you've been drinking. We understand that.
Okay. All right.
17 seconds, 16 seconds, 15 seconds.
This show would not be made possible without listeners like you. I would like to thank a few patrons that make this show possible. Without them, this would never happen. They are Terrific Tack, Excellent Egghart, Ignanimous Egg, Ed, the letter carrier, Marvelous Maggie, Just Awesome Joanne, and Gorgeous Greg. We appreciate all that you do for making this show possible. Thank you. This was a great show. This was one in fucking a million.
Did you guys want to say goodbye? You left that white supremacist Whitney.
I was letting you.
Good night, everybody. It was great.
God bless.